You're listening to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community. Thanks for being here.
Well, last week I talked about the evolution of the Christmas tree, and I ended by suggesting a new topic of consideration. It's what we call a tease in the biz. So let's jump into it. Santa Claus. Who is this gigantic figure, and how did he become more synonymous with Christmas than Christ? You know, when I was a kid, we would have adults from our church teach Sunday school class, and I can remember when I was in elementary school, this one man wrote up on the chalkboard the word Santa in big white capital letters. He tapped it meaningfully with the chalk, "But look closely," he said. And then he moved the N, and behold, Santa, now spelled Satan. We all gasped, "No!"
Isn't it funny that Santa is an anagram for Satan? Santa is Satan.
Now, my faith tradition has a bit of an obsession with the devil. We actually liked finding old Beelzebub wherever we could find him. Hence, the 80s band Kiss clearly stood for Knights in Satan's Service. Or so I was told. But I'm sure we can all agree that playing Scrabble with Santa's first name is not the best way to understand his origins. So where does the Santa mythology that we know today come from? What are the source materials for all the movies and storybooks we see today? Well, we have to first acknowledge that marketing has played a huge role. Rewind to 1949 when Gene Autry recorded a little ditty called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
That song sold over 2 million copies. That's a lot back then. It was based on a story written in the 30s by a copywriter of the Montgomery Ward department store. It was a marketing tactic to draw people in. And around the same time, the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade began, and since the parade's inception in 1924, Santa has always been a main feature. Then, people could go and meet Santa at their store. Meanwhile, just a few years before that, Coca-Cola started taking out ads in the Saturday Evening Post featuring a red-clad Santa drinking soda.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Some say Coke is the reason Santa wears red, but that's actually not true. It was decades before then that Santa was regularly depicted wearing red, thanks to the editorial cartoons of a man named Thomas Nest, which is why we saw Santas on the street ringing bells for the Salvation Army as early as the 1890s. Marketing, friends. Marketing. Okay, so the myth of Santa took off in the 20th century. Big deal. But where did these brilliant marketers get the idea? Where did they get their source? I already mentioned the influence of cartoonist Thomas Nest, which can't be underestimated, but what was his source? Well, rewind again back to 1822, when an Episcopal minister sat down to write a poem for his children. His name was Clement Clark Moore, and the poem was entitled, An Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas. You may know it better by its first line, 'Twas the night before Christmas. And it is this poem where Moore took some creative liberties which shaped many of the details we have about Santa. Jolly old elf, a tiny sleigh, reindeer names, stockings by the chimney. Interestingly, Moore was influenced by stories earlier in the 1800s of a Dutch man named Washington Irving from New York. He told tales of Sinterklaas. It's short for the Dutch Sint Nicholas. St. Nicholas, and you can easily see how New Yorkers saying Sinterklaas over time could become Santa Claus. Or perhaps the German version of Belsnickel. He would show up with a bag of goodies and a magical hazel switch. Kids would either get cakes and candies, or they'd get whipped and receive stripes on their backs. Belsnickel also went by another name, Kris Kringle. Huh. Somehow, these various versions of European tales meshed, and Clement Clark Moore wrote a poem that crystallized the myth. Historians notice how Moore also changed details to fit a more British audience. Instead of wooden shoes that the Dutch would leave full of hay, which would be eaten by Sinterklaas's horses, now there are stockings hung by the chimney and cookies left out for Santa Claus. Instead of a wagon with horses, there's a sleigh with reindeer, which added to the mystery of Santa, as if he's from some undiscovered land in the north. And this jolly fellow seemed to match the depiction of the ghost of Christmas present, as we read about in Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Interesting, right? Okay, then. Moore wrote a poem based on stories written in New York City by a Dutchman. But where did all that come from? Well, it's in the name, guys. Sinterklaas, Saint Nicholas, an actual person. A man reportedly born in the 4th century in modern-day Turkey. He was known for his piety and his kindness. Many legends developed around Saint Nicholas. One of my favorite stories is that he saved 3 impoverished sisters from being sold into prostitution by their father by paying for a dowry so they could be married. He visited the sick, cared for children. Over time, he became the patron saint of children and sailors. Why sailors? That's a great question, and I'm not really sure. But Saint Nick became perhaps the most popular and well-loved saint all throughout Europe, even after the Reformation, when the veneration of saints was heavily decreasing. So Saint Nicholas was well-placed to travel the Atlantic Ocean and evolve into what we now know. Satan Claus. Ugh, ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Santa Claus. And it's a long, winding road, which leads to a question. Should I, or should we, continue to participate with this highly altered mythology of an ancient saint? Well, for me, yes and no. I ask myself, what in this mythology resonates with my values? I obviously don't like how the mythology is leveraged for commercialization and consumerism, and I'm concerned how Santa sends a subtle message of behavior modification via reward and punishment, naughty and nice lists like we're all dogs being trained to behave. Good boy, good girl, here's your treat. But in general, I like the story. There's a sweetness to it. There's a mystery about it that stirs my imagination. And maybe more compelling for me, it's fun, right? I mean, I could watch the movie Elf 100 times, and it's just plain, unadulterated fun.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
And I mean, yeah, history can get lost in the mix of an altered myth. That just happens. Sort of like our understanding of the nativity scene. Which, now that I think about it, yeah, that could be a good topic for next week. Blessings, guys. Love you.